I'm an alligator. I'm a mama, papa coming for you. I'm the space invader. I'll be a rock and rollin' bitch for you. Keep your mouth shut. Just squawking like a big monkey bird. And I'm busting up my brains for the world.
Yes, those sweet sounds of David Bowie. Hey everybody, we're back. We are in fact back. My name is Joe.
And I'm Carolyn.
You guys are listening to the Carolyn and Joe Show. Hey everybody, my name is Joe Carabay. I'm a filmmaker, a photographer, a writer, definitely in the band Monday Mistress. But today, I'm a podcaster. Of course, as always, across from me in the studio, the super ultra, wonderfully, super magically unlimited talented artist, creator, designer extraordinaire, her name is Carolyn Belewski. How you doing, Carolyn?
I'm doing good. We have some new equipment in the studio, so now I have a shield with like a little viewer and I can see Joe through it.
I don't know
what is this shield called technically.
Well, it's for voiceovers, so I was recording some voiceovers in the studio earlier a couple days ago, and I just never took it down. I was like, I might as well just keep it up. It's cool to just have
it. I feel like I'm like a stormtrooper or something.
It sort of reminds me of like the Watchmen, or in the Watchmen with Dr. Manhattan when he's in like the atomic chamber.
Uh-huh.
Or like something with the Hulk, Bruce Banner, when he's in there. It's like, because he got like a cage. But I got that one specifically because it has like a little hole. It has like a glory hole. A window. Not a glory hole. It has a window.
It has a window. What is this contraption called?
I mean, it's basically just like a portable sound booth. So you're pretty much like in a sound booth right now.
I like it though. I feel like maybe I should just keep it for a while.
Just keep it there. So yeah, so your side has a clean audio and my side has the ambient noise.
Well, it gives it some texture.
Yeah.
Some char.
I think it's cool. I was almost like, let me get two of them so we can have that. But I like, you know, try it out.
You like the open air?
No, I don't know.
Like the free range radio?
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. No, I just didn't feel like taking it down. So
laziness is going to make my sound better.
So there you go, ladies and gentlemen. Just so you know, yeah, if you ever want to record a voiceover or any type of music, Astray Studios, we can do that for you.
Astrayproductions.com,
JoeCarabeo.com. It's always interesting where people are like, so do you guys do this? Yeah, we do this in film production. This is the gear we're using now is what I use professionally. That's why we can do this show. So the story continues on that.
That's only part of why we can do this show.
It's only the reason, yeah, but it's a good reason that's efficient, so to speak. But it's cool because like you're recording your own vocals in a different room. That's how it is.
Yeah.
And you have like a window. You can have like cheat cards up inside the sound booth.
I could.
We'll just say you're inside the sound booth right now.
I'm in the sound booth. That's what it is. Whoa. It's pretty trippy from my point of view because it's almost like watching a movie.
Yeah.
Everything's like really dim in the booth, and then you just see the little window and I see you broadcasting. And then I also get this pop blocker in front of me, so I get everything like through a little shield of whatever, I don't know what to call it, this pop blocker texture. But I basically can...
It's like a grill.
Steel, aluminum.
I don't have...
You know when you look in an oven, it has like those little dots?
Yeah, because the pop-up... The pop blocker that we have is not like what's it called? Like a cloth... Not a cloth, but like a nylon. We have like the aluminum one.
Illuminati.
The aluminum grill, yeah.
The Illuminati grill.
You have the Illuminati grill to keep that there.
I think that's my band name.
The Illuminati grill?
Yeah. You don't need to say the, but just
Illuminati
grill.
That's how it is.
Speaking of bands,
it's up. It's time. It's the Carolyn's news in 1 second.
Speaking of bands, I just want to have you. Are we even allowed to release this information?
I already did.
Okay.
Well, I don't even know what you're talking about.
Well, your band Monday Mistress is playing two shows.
That's right. We are playing two shows in the month of April.
Yeah.
The April. Month of April.
See, we're still in March, but we're thinking ahead to April.
But that's crazy how it is. It's like, really, that's how it is in my head now. That's why time goes by so fast.
Yeah.
Weekly podcasts, weekly TV. Like, weeks are days almost. Like, and days are hours.
Easter is next Sunday, this coming Sunday, which is like, what? Where is the time going? Anyway, So just a reminder for those of you that might have forgot or whatever, Easter is coming, so that is news. Easter is this Sunday.
Easter's not getting that big of hype this year. I don't know why.
I don't know. I'm excited though, because I did buy egg dye, and so I have a feeling that once I dye some eggs, I'm gonna be in the hip hop spirit. So Joe, in April you have 2 tour dates of your band Monday Mistress, and I know the dates, but I don't know the specifics, but let me introduce the dates and then you can chime in. April 11th. Where are you playing and what time?
April 11th.
And it's a Monday, right?
April 11th.
So Monday Mistress is actually going to be playing
on a Monday. So April 11th, Vienna, Virginia, Jam and Java, Monday Mistress is going to be playing that night.
So that's the just time. 1:23.
The time has not been decided yet, or I haven't gotten that intel yet, since we still got some time.
But it will be Monday night.
We are going to be playing Monday night, April 11th, Jam and Java in Vienna, Virginia. Jam and Java is a great venue. Possibly one of the greatest venues that Tom Morello has played there. A lot of great bands have played there, and like, it's amazing that we got this slot to play over at Jam and Java. I mean, it's like it's directly now associated with 930 Club, so that, you know, that gives us opportunities to, I mean, hopefully getting in line with that, play 930 Club, play other things, but pretty much this is a great venue, a really big, I don't want to say like big time like notoriety venue. It's a great venue. I've shot commercials and I've done photo shoots there, but I've never actually played there. I've seen bands perform there. You know, so to get this slot, to get this bill is a great honor, but hopefully a great beginning as well. And Monday Mistress is playing there. So there you go. That's April 11th.
And then
coming up, man.
Then, if you can't get enough Monday Mistress, you can also see them on April 22nd.
That's right. April 22nd, Monday Mistress has been chosen to play at the Nova Film and Music Fest. That is April 22nd at the State Theater in Falls Church. The State Theater. So we go from playing Jam and Java, which is a great, great venue, to immediately playing a theater. Like, I think it might be 10 days, more than 10 days, 11 days later.
That's pretty impressive.
So, like,
so what day of the week is April 22nd?
That is a Friday. So Friday, April 22nd, the State Theater in Falls Church.
Do you know
great
times?
Great venues play. We don't know times yet, but the shows go, the night starts from 4, goes to like 11.
So put it in your calendar.
So we don't know the times, but you know, we'll keep you updated. Go to MondayMistress.com. We'll go to the Facebook.com/MondayMistress. Just, you know, tune into whatever I say on Astray J or anything, any one of my social medias and on this show. But yes, Monday Mistress is playing Jam and Java at April 11th, Monday, April 11th, and the State Theater as part of the Nova Music Film Fest for a good, almost an hour block, both of them possibly an hour block, at April 22nd, State Theater. You guys, Monday Mistress, alternative hard rock. I don't know what else to call us at this point. I'm always like it's like Stone Temple Pilots with a female singer with some dark blues. So with
that,
like,
sounds the, like awesome. The weather, so. Yeah. You guys are like hitting it up everywhere. It's amazing. And I will say, I don't want to go through our whole tour schedule, but jumping ahead to the month of May, we do have Tidewater Comic Con, which is in Virginia Beach at the Virginia Beach Convention Center on May 21st and May 22nd. We will be there all weekend as Curl's Studio, and it will be our first appearance at Tidewater Comic Con. I heard so many good things about the previous few years, and I'm excited.
So that should be fun.
We haven't brought the comics to Virginia Beach, and we will. Oh, this music is like nice and depressing. It sounds like funeral music. What is this?
This is part of The Great Gatsby.
Oh, okay.
Hold on one second while you continue that news.
Can you actually play this when I die?
Maybe.
Because It sounds like so pleasant, but it's also really death oriented. I don't know when they played it like within the film, but yeah, let's cry. So running down the rest of the tour schedule, June 3rd, 4th, and 5th, Joe and I will be at AwesomeCon, and I have really good feelings about this AwesomeCon because I heard as a guest that Will Friedle will be there, and I'm excited about Will Friedle. If those of you that don't know who he is, he played Eric Matthews on Boy Meets World, and I'm sure you remember, if you ever watched Boy Meets World, how awesome that character of Eric Matthews is, because he was probably my top character on that show. I thought he was adorable, lovable, the older brother of Corey Matthews. How can you go wrong?
You're talking about Corey Matthews
right now? No, I'm talking about Eric Matthews.
Eric Matthews?
Because Will Friedle's going to be at AwesomeCon. I'm excited about that.
Well, it should be pretty awesome, right?
Yeah, June 3rd, 4th, and 5th. It's a 3-day show, and I'm really excited. I'm excited about, like, every year they always have at least one or two guests that I'm really enthralled with. Because, I mean, I don't know. I'm not trying to be negative about it, but I'm not really, like, a big Doctor Who fan or, like, I don't know. I'm not, like, I don't want to say I dislike it because I really haven't given it a chance. But there's just a lot of, like, geek culture stuff that I'm personally not, like, into. Not because I don't want to be into, but I'm just not, like, a mainstream geek. I don't know if I'm offending anybody by saying this, because I know people get offended by it.
It's funny how, like, you know, I'm into comic book. I mean, I feel like legit I'm in a lot of things that, you know, that I mean, people can classify me as a geek, but I never think of me as a nerd or a geek. But there's always just some things I'm not going to be totally into. Like, people can be into what is the pathway to being a geek? Like, you got like Doctor Who. You got to like do. You, I mean, I remember being in SPX. I thought I was into indie comics, and they're like, oh, do you know Love and Rockets this number? I'm like, I don't. And then like they looked at me like I don't know what the hell I'm talking about. I'm like, I guess I don't have enough cred. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then the same thing with like. And the thing is though, I'm not into Doctor Who. I have several on DVD, but I'm not as far into it as people are.
So what made you buy it on DVD?
I heard they had really good Christmas episodes.
Because that's
and
the
I'm a sucker for that.
Episode you watched was a Christmas episode.
Yeah,
right?
Which was great. It was a great.
So you basically
Christmas
bought
episode.
A whole seasons of Doctor Who just to watch the Christmas episode.
Well, I mean, I assumed the rest was going to be quality, and it was quality, but. I mean, here's the thing: is I watch shows at my own pace. Like a lot of people are always gonna tell me, you need to watch this now. You need to watch this now, and that's what's so tough about this. I guess this geek culture that we're into. I remember that it's challenging for me because like yeah, I got into Buffy the Vampire Slayer when it first came out, when the freaking
leader of Buffy.
And like
way back in the day.
And like I was into comics and stuff back there, but I'm not really a social, you know how some people are social drinkers or social smokers. I'm not any of that. These shows are literally for me and my sanity. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I got through life thinking that like Buffy, that show, is personal because it's for me. You know what I mean? Like that's why I connected with these shows. I didn't connect because I need to gravitate to all these other people.
Well, I will say, like, just from I guess my perspective, whenever I think of geek culture, I do think of Star Trek and Doctor Who for some reason.
Yeah.
Like those two, because those get associated with like, oh, you're a geek. You know,
but like the geek culture today is such a
it's wide open. Well, it could be anything really.
Yeah, but it's also like, you know, it's a challenge because I'm always challenged with the fact of like, you know, what is this, the cred, you know, why are people into this, why are people even cosplaying? I know it seems like it's just these are just fame seekers at the same time, and I personally like I'm not offended by like, you know, the bandwagon people, because you're always going to have that. But it makes me search long and hard towards why I'm into certain things. And, you know, I'm not just in because it's in. You know what I mean? I've tried real hard to not be in because it's in.
But also, I will say, with Boy Meets World and Eric Matthews and Will Friedle and all that, I will say I have been a Boy Meets World geek.
You have?
For since whenever TGIF was on the air, think, you know, like forever. That's like one of my top shows. It's probably in my top five.
A good way to show like legitimacy, whether you like it or where you really like something, is whether you're really, if you want to, if really, if you are
Enthusiastic,
yes, but also if you're willing to fight for it. You know, because there's plenty of times where people will be like, I hated Boy Meets World, or this sucks. And if you're willing to be like, you know what? Even though a majority of people or a lot of people don't like this, I like this, and these are the reasons why. You know what I mean?
See, but if someone were to, like, straight up give me, like, a Scantron test of, like, of Boy Meets World, I can't really guarantee that I would know everything. I've never actually had a test of Boy Meets World, but, like, you know if some people are like, well, in episode 10, this happened or something, and then, like, I'll be like, I don't remember every little detail. Like, yeah, I'm pretty damn sure I've seen every episode, though.
You know why? Do you remember every single detail of your whole entire life? No. Very few people can actually retain that, but the reason why you connect with the show is because you lived with the show, and when you live through something, you know, you go through your day to day, you live with these characters. That's why when I'm into these shows, I'm basically living as they live. And sometimes you're not going to remember everything because that's just the way life is, man. It's not a test. You know, I can still be like, oh, you remember when we did this? I forget what day it was. It's like, if I can't remember that, how am I supposed to know specific episodes and times and months? I mean, there'll be times,
but
there'll be times.
They, like, test your geek if you don't know certain answers, and you're like, oh, what was the dog's name or something? And I'm like, I don't even know.
And, like, what type of person is that, really? Because I feel like whenever you try to dick measure people like that, it's sort of like you're just, again, you're in it for yourself, not for the love. You're in it for yourself, and that's sort of a bummer because, like, I hate when people are like, oh, you don't know that. People are always constantly trying to close the door on others as opposed to, like, you know what I mean? It's a tough situation like that, I feel like.
Yeah. Well, I will say, like, Boy Meets World and Freaks and Geeks really were instrumental in my personal development. And also, I really, oh my gosh, there's, like, and I love Good Charlotte, too. So it's, like, those are my top geeky things, and I'm sure there's more. 90s country music, like, those are my geeky things, and, like, I know it's not everybody's cup of tea, but I feel like at comic shows everybody has, like, the same pull of, like, the, you know, like I was saying, the Doctor Who, the Star Trek, and books.
And we've seen this before. We've been going and we've been doing conventions for a really long time at this point, almost 10 years it feels like. Almost to that.
Are we, like, veterans at this point?
We're veterans. So
that's kind of sad.
But it's not sad at all. Because
it is, because I've seen people, like, drop off. I've seen people do it for, like, 2 years.
I don't think it's sad. I mean, I've been into wrestling even longer than that.
I know,
I've been into,
like,
music
just
longer
just
than that.
And then recently, within the past year or so, I've had people, like, come up and tell me, like, basically, like, well, it looks like you're never going to quit anytime soon. You know, it's kind of like you're a lifer, like, reaffirming.
Yeah, well, here's the thing, though. It's like, that's what it sucks when people, or at least to me, it's embarrassing to the medium when you just have weekend people, when you just have these like, you know, this, like, I'm just doing it for this moment, because, like, whenever I've done anything, I'm like, I have to do this. Like, this is what I'm going to do. And I feel like you're embarrassing, you're ridiculing the medium if you don't even care to take it all the way. You know what I mean? If there's just, like, a sign of, like, one downer in the story that's telling of your career as trying to make comics, and then you quit, that's sort of like, then what, how does that leave the rest of us? You know what I mean? It's like, you don't even try if you're not going to try to go 100%. And I feel like we've been going 100%, and we've mean to make this as part of our life, not just something like, oh yeah, that's something I dabbled in. You know, like when people are just like, I'm going to take, like, a painting class. I don't really care about painting. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like,
and
I
comics
really appreciate
are becoming
it.
More and more, I guess, accepted, because, you know, many years ago they weren't, and now it's very prominent to see in libraries that they'll have, like, a comic display, or people will take a comic class and stuff like that.
It's true. We've been through all of that.
And
you know?
But there was a time where it was not really looked upon in a good way, and you know, that's been going on for years, ever since, like, the comics code and all that legal trouble when talking about, like, comics made people be juvenile delinquents and stuff like that. Like, that goes way back. But even now, I still think, you know, it's a rough business to be in. Unless you're seriously, like, a top star in comics, it's, especially, like, starting out too, it's financially, out of all the arts, I will say, it feels like it's the most roughest one, because there's not enough money to go around in the comics industry. You know, like, you know, if there's like big companies and stuff, they need like a lot of art being done and whatever stuff, like they have the money, they have the funds to pay for it. And now sometimes you hear about, like, not necessarily DC and Marvel, but there's like other, you know, tertiary publishers out there, and you hear about how like they don't have a full staff, they can barely, they're like hanging on by a thread and stuff like that. And like, I think it's cool that they're still making a go at it, but it makes you realize, like, even like self-publishers, or like, you know, it's good with the internet that people can kickstart their projects, or Patreon. There's so many outlets where like artists can make money online, but I don't know, man, art's hard. And anyone like who stays in the game that long, like, I feel like a lot of people, they just go into it thinking that they're like, I'm gonna be the next Frank Miller, I'm gonna have a movie, I'm gonna have a series, and I'm gonna have this and that, and like, Hollywood, here I come after this. And then they don't really realize that it does take a lot of time. Like, who knows, maybe somebody can, you know, like, really work their way into getting to that level. But it does seem like art, and comics art specifically, and comics writing, is very, very hard to make a true living at. And I think that people don't realize that until they get into it for a couple years, and maybe that's why people drop out.
Well, I actually have a different perspective on that altogether.
Well, I'd like to hear it.
Dropping out. Yeah, you know, and I see the reason why they dropped out, and the reason why Frank Miller was so passionate, and any great comic book creator, the reason why they can stick with it for so long, and the reason why they can change the medium, or the reason why they can have passion in their stories and really go at it, is because they have something to say. And a lot of times when people just drop out, because maybe their motivations going into the medium are not really like real legit motivations to be in the medium. Like for me, yeah, it'd be great if I was a millionaire. I feel like I could have been a millionaire many times if I didn't stick to my principles in my own business. But like, I've been cursed with trying to be a good human being. But I feel like when people drop out, maybe they don't have stories to tell. Maybe they don't have a meaning. They don't have any real meaning of being in the medium. You know what I mean? Maybe they really are just weekend warriors, and they're just like, you know, I just did it for fun. But I feel like like Frank Miller, I feel like he went in there because he went into the medium because he had a purpose. He had the type of stories he wanted to tell, and he had, you know, he had an objective. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And then that objective and that meaning is what carried him still probably to this day, of trying to inflict some sort of change. Because, you know, whether people shit on him or not, he was a revolutionary in trying to change the medium. And I feel like a lot of times if people don't have those motivations or stories to tell or just something to say, you're going to drop out because you lose any reason. You know what I mean? It's like, why are you doing this? I don't know. I guess we'll just quit. If it was just to get drunk and hang out and, you know, get score or see girls with titties and stuff like that, you will max out really fast because, like, I guess that's it. You know, you got nothing else to say because, you know, that can happen and then you're done.
Because all the girls are like clamoring over these comic book artists.
You know, the way cosplayers now is just one big just like party, you know. So if people are in it to party, then fucking go party. But I've always tried to make things that last, that you know, it doesn't matter what time you read it or when you try to create something. I always try to envision something that just means something, and that's always going to be the repeating theme that I've been talking about in this year, is making something that means something.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
that's your theme of the year.
That's the inflict and try to, you know, make some change, is to make something that means something. And I feel like if you don't have anything to say when you started a book or a comic or any form, you know, you are gonna max out. You are gonna, you know, run out of reason pretty fast.
Yeah.
And that's why I feel like a lot of people, they're like, well, I just wanted to make some cute stuff. And that's cool, because then you can go into the commercial realm and then you can be like doing that, then become a tool, just repeating that. And that's nothing's wrong.
Hey, as long as you're getting paid.
Yeah, as long as you're doing that.
You can still make a living off that.
The passion and the meaning is what drives you to be a lifer. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
That to me is what drives a person. If you went into this and you wanted to accomplish something, you're goal oriented and you had something to say, and that's, to me, is why if you don't have that, a lot of people will fade out.
I guess what is kind of I don't know, demystifying for me about comics is that, like, you know, everything is really, really great. There's just other mediums and other segments of art that you can financially maybe still tell a story and you can still make a living. I'm just basically saying comics is probably the hardest out of all the art professions to make a living.
And that's solely because it was already screwed when it started.
Yeah, that's what I'm getting at too. It's like, it's just like an uphill battle. Like I see things getting better, but I also don't think it. You know, there does come a time when just as a human being, let's say you can't live with your parents anymore. You know, you have to come out of the basement and you have to pay for an apartment on your own or get some roommates and all that. And like, you know, it is about money when it does, you know, come down to it at a certain level. Yeah, you want to keep your imagination, keep your skills, keep everything really sharp. But there does come a time where, you know, you can't just be making comics. And I feel like maybe that's why a few people, you know, drop out. Life gets in the way. And I'm not saying it's right or wrong, but it does happen, you know. There does come that time where, like, if you're not making money from your comics, you might have to stop or at least put it on hold for a little while.
I don't think so. I think you can make comics. You know what I mean? A person can always be making comics.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
that's true. Like,
what is stopping someone from doing any of that? Like, but you can make comics. Making money off of comics is different.
That's what I'm saying, though.
But what I'm saying is you can make comics. Yeah, but you can still make comics.
Maybe you can make simple comics. Maybe they won't be.
You can still tell your story. I think that's the wrong idea. If you're trying to do the business of comics, that's different than actually just making comics and getting your story out there.
Well, you can still have a part-time job and then do comics.
You can make money. Make ends meet no matter how what you can do. But you can still make comics. It's like you have this guitar, but you can't write. It's like because you're not making money, you should stop writing songs. No, you can still do that. Okay, you're just not making money off of it.
Maybe I'm not being clear enough. I'm basically just saying, like, it's interesting to me that comics as a medium is probably like the lowest paid medium out there
because it's a character medium. That's what it is to me. It's a character and story medium. That's what gets it big. And the majority of the characters that are big are already been adopted to bigger corporations who can fund the marketing and fund the flood of the market mm-hmm. for that too. So if you have a smaller character that's not known, you need to have the capital to be able to market that so it gets people out there. But if you don't, then it's a slower build. So you gotta be clever.
Yeah. It's just kind of like,
if you're battling Batman and Superman, those guys have, I mean, imagine how they were.
I would not even want to go up against them.
Even when Batman and Superman first started, it's not like they just started creating the book out of books, comic books in general out of nowhere. No, they were already part. It's like they already had books that were already in circulation. So they already had an avenue in which these characters can get over, so to speak. Now, a lot of these independent creators like us, we don't already have a publishing deal, and we don't have something that's already like, all right, we got like 10,000 books that are going to go in. Do you have something for us? We got no guarantee. Mm-hmm. So that's an uphill battle. So it leads us back to passion and being creative.
But what a lot of self-publishers do is they somehow work their way into doing a property that a lot of people already know about. Like, for example, My Little Pony or something. You know, and then everyone knows My Little Pony, and then they're like, oh, well, they worked on My Little Pony. I'll check out, you know, whatever their self-published book is. And I've noticed a couple people, it's almost like you have to work for something that people know of to get noticed. So that's, I mean, and that makes sense. That's how
part,
it is.
Part of me actually believes, and I just felt this for a few seconds, I feel like there's a bubble that's going to pop soon. Because there's such an oversaturation of market that everything is almost looking the same. That pretty soon something by itself is going to break out that's not the mainstream, and it's not the typical mm-hmm. book, and it's going to be something that's going to be the complete opposite. Because if you look at it now, you got the whole... You actually do have a drawing style, and you have a color, and you have a look that's pretty much all the same. You know, just when you just look at it, to me at least, it's like you have the superhero, then you have the cute teams and stuff like that, or the whatever it is. But I feel like there's something else that's gonna break out from this, because I don't know. I just feel it in the air that there's such a there that the time is ripe for something new. That's mm-hmm. something fresh. It's like that Nirvana moment. It's like, yeah, you have all these other bands. Like you got the grunge area that's making it big, but you don't have that Nirvana yet. You know, Nirvana is going to come and break. That still came from the rest of them, but it wasn't, you know what I mean? It wasn't, Nirvana destroyed Soundgarden, destroyed all those ones because it was its own singular force, but it still rode that wave. And I feel like the wave is coming up.
It was something familiar, but yet different.
Yeah. But still, I feel like we haven't hit that yet. Because
mm-hmm.
I feel like there still isn't... Because remember when like Image came out, Spawn came out of that, that became a household name, right? There's still no new book that's an ultra household name yet.
No.
There's just a bunch of books that are setting the table. They're creating the table to set that. But I feel like there's still property that can break out there and become the next household name.
Well, Adventure Time, like when that started coming out, a lot of people started drawing like Adventure Time.
Yeah, and see, style. And see, that's gonna be
like really loose arms.
And then before that, you had what's it called? You had the Scott Pilgrim.
Mm-hmm.
And before that, you had robots. And then before that, you know, they've been all these. Trends. Then you had the James Kachaka era. And then before, you know, so you have these trends pretty much that are happening. And of course, that's obvious. But it's time for something even more fresher to come up.
Yeah.
But that's something that's dangerous because we're still living in a safe world.
Definitely. I guess back to the money thing, I'm not saying that money, you don't need money to create. I'm not getting on that. But I just wish that there was a way that comic artists and comic creators had an opportunity to like actually survive more, you know, and didn't maybe have to work at Starbucks on the side or something.
I think the real survival is the constant of making those books.
That's true.
Because even comics themselves weren't surviving, but they still established the brand by making books.
Yeah.
So even if they weren't making millions of dollars, you still got to establish a brand. I mean, it's the same thing with filmmakers. It's like, oh yeah, the last movie wasn't a big hit. Well, you still got to make a movie if you want to be a movie maker. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So it's sort of like, that's where it comes down to. That's where we're talking about, I feel like before, when you said these people that just dropped out, they didn't have a hit, so they dropped out. But then can they still be called a comic creator? You know what I mean? Because it's like they just left the medium because of that. Like, well, I didn't really make it big. But I feel like maybe the true creators are the ones that are like, well, I didn't make it big, but you know what? I'm still going to do this because this is what I do. Like, are we getting millions and millions of viewers on this podcast? Maybe not. And it's very daunting and it's very heartbreaking at the same time. We got a solid amount, but, you know, you got to think about that. And then, like, I'm like, well, but this is what I do. I make music or I do this. This is what we do.
It goes back to that thing of like, you have to, unless you reach this level of like superstardom, no one really cares at a certain level. And I'm by superstardom, I mean like the Rock, Dwayne Johnson. Like, unless you're like at that level, no one cares about you. But so there's really only like 20 people in this world that can do whatever they really want.
I personally feel like really no one really cares. They're just being, they're just given something to do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're just given something to do because they got nothing else to do. It's almost like you get their attention, right? And even if they care or not, it's like, well, I don't really feel like seeing this movie, but my friends are seeing this movie, so I might as well just go see this movie. Or it's the same thing with books. I don't really read comics, but everyone else is reading this. It's really just getting the attention.
But there are those true fans. That's what, I guess, back to, like, Boy Meets World. Like, I consider myself, like, a really good Boy Meets World fan. And I feel like they're out there. And there might be somebody out there who, like, legit likes your work, who like will buy everything that you put out, and those are the people that everyone needs to find.
Absolutely,
you just gotta find them. They're out there. But yeah, I think with other stuff, it does get to that trendy part. I've never been like a super trendy person, but for example, like I just remember there was times where like everyone had a certain CD, like, oh man, I gotta get this new CNC Music Factory CD, and like everyone in the class had it. Or like Milli Vanilli, or you know, like all those trendy things, or Vanilla Ice. I just never really bought into all that stuff. I will say I did like Ace of Base, but that was like genuine. Like I definitely liked them, and so like I had that. Like, what is it? The Sign album.
I don't know. I don't know the name of the album of that.
Well, yeah, whatever. I had that, but like, was there any trend that you definitely like? Not because you got on the bandwagon, not because like your friends liked it, but you actually liked a trend. Because you're not a very trendy person either.
I feel like I've always been one of those people. I can find when I like something, and then all of a sudden I see a lot of people do it too, and I'm like, then in my head I'm like, well, if everyone else is doing it, I guess I'll just wait this out. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Because I was like, well, I'm legitimate. If they really liked it, then they would keep on with something. Like, even comics was a thing. You know, people liked in the late 90s, or there were people reading comics, and then they fell out. The same thing with the professional wrestling. I was already into professional wrestling. Then it got big during a certain era. Then everyone was into it. And then it faded away. Then people faded away. Then I was still into it because I enjoy the art form of the genre.
Pro wrestling kind of comes around like every 10 years. There'll be like something big that happens, and then like a whole bunch of people will come onto it, and then it will fade out. I think it's kind of interesting how it does that. But yeah, there's always these things that you have stood by like throughout all the years.
What's the thing is you don't want to.
But I'm not like one of those people.
I don't like following trends.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I'm not one of those people where you look at their CDs and it's all like Milli Vanilli, Vanilla Ice, and stuff like that, and just like all the popular stuff that was really big at that time. And then like in reality, you're like, oh, do you like this? And they're like, no, those are the phase I went through.
I remember there's a time in like another universe, like the comic book store over at Springfield Mall. I had a box, you know, and this is one of the reasons why I don't have like a box anymore at any comic book store, because like I'd buy, you know, I'd have put things on my box, or I'd have the list of names, and I think you'd have to have like 10 comics or something like that.
Basically,
and
it's like a subscription. You'd
follow like certain, you know, you'd be like, okay, this is big right now, and this is big, and I'll just get those books, right? And then, you know, I started realizing like, oh, I'm just buying these books because, you know, that's what everyone else is talking about, and then I end up just not reading them. I'd buy them and I'd end up not reading them because I'm like, well, I don't really care. In the first place, it was just what I was in, you know, what was in at that moment. But I felt like I'm not, whatever's in at that moment doesn't mean it's actually like good. So I stopped having a box because it was a waste of my money and it was a waste of my time. So then I really enjoyed, you know, living in the moment of what I'm gonna buy, like at the comic book store or anything like that. And it's tough for me to get anything on a trend. Because I just don't trust people. That's just what it comes down to. I give less, you know, like, then that's just me. Some image, some thought in my head, when I decided to be a director, and when I decided to, like, and I'm always going to call myself a director, even though people will be like, well, you don't make films all the time. It's like, well, that's their freaking opinion. You don't have to be a filmmaker to be a director all the time. There's many different directors out there. But I felt like my thought process is what makes me unique, and what will make whatever I make unique compared to someone else who's just following a trend or seeing a certain filter that they're really into. Like I feel like me and my pigheaded and stubbornness and my weirdness is what's gonna make in my handwriting and the way I talk. That's those little skills or those little differences is what's gonna make me unique, and I think that's what I started realizing. Just by paying attention, and just by living in the moment, by not following a trend, because I choose not to follow a trend. But also, I'm not going to say that I don't fully follow a trend, as in I don't buy into a trend. I'll follow a trend and I'll keep note of it. You know what I'm saying? Because that's why, like, I'd still peek at the VMA awards, because I can see whatever they're doing is possibly that's what's on the fringe right now, and that's what's in, so I have to know what's being done.
Yeah, like Miley Cyrus.
Yeah, I have to know what's being done. I don't want to, you know, who knows when or where I'll ever become like that dude that's like, I'm so out of touch, but I don't want to be out of touch, because Paul Heyman's not out of touch, and he's really on the fringe, and I feel like I love making new ideas, so if to make new ideas, you sort of got to see what's ideas are being made now.
Yeah. I remember also, I'm just trying to think of all the trends that I actually fell with. I know elementary school, I did slap bracelets, and I thought that those were really fun. I did Pogs, and I loved collecting the Pogs. I never really played the game of Pogs. I guess it's like, what are they, milk carton labels?
I don't even know.
It was like, I don't know, I guess some were plastic and some were paper, but it was like, I guess it was a game that originated in Hawaii. I could be totally wrong because I never played the game, but those I got at another universe, and they had bins of them, and they were like really cheap. They were like 10 cents each. So I guess from my design background, I just loved looking at the little icons and design on each Pog. And yeah, it's like an inch or two in diameter circle. And I guess you're supposed to, like, stack them and then bounce a ball and then grab as many as you could. But I never played the game. I was basically just collecting the designs. I thought that they were really cool. I have them somewhere, but I don't know exactly where. But I guess Pogs were trendy for, like, a year, and I did that. But I never played with anyone, so it was more of just collecting. And also troll dolls. I remember everybody had, like, a troll doll in, like, the corner of their desk. And I remember I wanted a troll doll because everyone had one. But I will say I liked it. It wasn't like I didn't like it. I wasn't doing it just to be like, I don't really like it, but I want to be like fit in. I want to be cool. Like, there's something about trolls that was nice, but now
isn't that the way though that we're taught? We're like, you should don't be different. You need to fit in.
Yeah, but it does. I guess it does kind of look strange when everyone else has a troll doll, but then you don't. And then I think they might have been banned.
Then they start pitying people. Like, look down upon you. It's like a status thing now.
Like, oh, are you too poor? You can't afford a troll.
Yeah. Like, and then they start picking at you and shit.
But the more you look at trolls, they're actually kind of weird. Like,
the trolls.
I know. It's like, what is? And then they started making special trolls that had like a gem in the belly button. And then you have to, like, collect them all and stuff. And then I guess Beanie Babies were also a big hit. But I wasn't really a big Beanie Baby collector. I had a few. I had, like, the McDonald's one because this one kid, like, in our art class, like, I guess he worked at McDonald's, so he gave me some. And then I guess I had a couple that I bought or exchanged with friends. That was just, you know, a fun thing. I didn't go crazy, like, buying a whole lot. Yeah, I'm just trying to think of, like, all the really trendy stuff. I know now kids do, like, different colored bracelets.
Different colored hair, different bracelets.
Like, there's always, like, bracelets come around, like, all the time. Like, friendship bracelets, slap bracelets. Those seem to be really popular. And then also the WWJD bracelets were, like, popular for a year. Like, a whole bunch of people wore them. Even people, like, that weren't really that religious. They're like, what would Jesus do? It's very popular, and yeah, a lot of people had it.
I know. Just for me, it's almost like trends in a way. Maybe that's just me being anti-authority, like I always am. Like, I always happen to be, just naturally, I guess. But, like, a trend, it's almost like people telling me what to do. And that mom was like, I'm not going to do that. No, don't tell me what to do, you know?
I feel like I did try to fit in a bit, like, in late elementary school.
But what does that get anybody? Really, what does fitting in get anybody?
You know what, though? I'm glad I went through that period of time, because I know it sounds so silly, but, you know, I didn't necessarily want to be, like, the most popular person in school or, like, needed attention. But I feel like you're going through this period of time in adolescence where you do want people to like you, and you do want to have friends, and you don't want to be that outcast person that, like, it's like, oh, what's wrong with her? She doesn't have a troll or something. Like, I know it sounds such as, it's so stupid and silly, but that's how kids operate.
It's almost like you're brought up, kids are, like, taught to share and to be alike and to be friends. That very own thought process is what creates, like, outskirts of kids too, because those kids who've already been put together in groups, who've already been sort of like unionized, then when they see someone else that's not part of that, then they fight against that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's almost like the way you're created fights off, you know, like battles the drop off of other people.
Yeah. So when I was like in younger elementary school, I think I like noticed some of it, but I didn't really catch on to it until sixth grade. Cause I remember that being a year where I did try to fit in, and I did try to get like cool kid clothes. And, you know, I at least made some attempt. And then, like, I guess seventh grade and eighth grade, I was still in that vibe a little bit, but I started branching out, you know, more and just being my own person. But I did pay attention to, like, I guess what, you know how you're saying, like, you pay attention to the MTV awards. So, like, you know, I was paying attention in seventh and eighth grade to, like, what the cool kids were doing.
It's important to pay attention to. So yeah, you have to pay attention so you can make a choice.
Yeah. But I did try to, like, you know, fit in, but then I guess, like, maybe midway through eighth grade, I got over that. I don't know the exact, you know, timing of things, but I guess, so I went through maybe like 2 years, maybe 2 to 2.5 years of like attempting to fit in. And then, you know, nothing major happened to like make me be myself, but I guess I just came to a realization of like, oh, I like certain things. I might like a trend. and that's fine. Or I might, like, not really like trend. Like, right now, like, they have, like, those wedge heels and, like, Trojan shoes. I'm not a fan of either of those looks. Like, every time I try to go shoe shopping, I have a really hard time because, like, it's very hard for me to find shoes that I actually think are nice. Like, I sometimes just like simple, nice shoes, and it's hard because now we have, like, these giant wedges with, like, all this crap and, like, cork board on it or something, and I'm like, oh, I don't want to walk around like that.
Which is possibly my least favorite of all shoes.
Yeah, I don't want to walk, and or even
Uggs. If you think about it, it looks sort of racist popular. Because it's very, like, Asian, too.
Uggs are very popular, and, like, I never really find that very attractive. So, I don't know. There's just, I actually do have a very hard time shoe shopping because I don't really like the trends in shoes in the past, like, decade. So, it's hard because
You telling me. Me too.
It's very hard for
me.
But
that's just our taste, though.
But that's, like, that's probably the hardest, you know. I can still find other clothes that I like, but shoes are very hard.
I feel the same way.
And, you know, but anyway, so I don't know what, like, there wasn't, like, a moment where, like, a cool kid, like, you know, bullied me or anything. I think, like, I think everybody has been bullied. Some people, of course, get it much worse. But I didn't get it to, like, an extreme level, but just, you know, little comments here and there, which I think is probably, like, a normal level of bullying.
Is that really bullying, though?
Yeah, I would say so, because it's like somebody's trying to bully you around. Like,
but was it
they're
really
not, they're
bullying?
Not trying to be your friend, or, like, they're not, they're trying to, like, bring you down, you know?
But at the same time, I don't know. Like, it's like, is it, like, was it a constant thing?
Yeah, with a couple girls.
Yeah. Well, that's just probably real bullying then.
That's what I'm saying, but I don't think it got to that level of, like, you
know,
because
I say smart ass comments all the time. But then again, I'm a bully and an asshole, so that's just how the world works.
Do you think
works.
You are? I mean, I just remember, like, a couple times, like, it's so silly being in the locker room or something, and then the girls just,
well,
like,
girls
make
are
fun
bullies.
Of you.
I think girls are bullies all around. Yeah.
I mean, in all honesty, maybe my fashion sense wasn't really that great, you know. But I don't know. I don't think it, like, I don't think I, like, deserved a lot of that talk. And but, you know, what are you gonna do? You go through that, and it just makes you a stronger person.
You
in
fight
the end.
Back to these bullies.
I don't even remember what I did, honestly.
You probably, like, did nothing.
I probably just, like, stood.
You probably
there.
Just, like, I guess so. That's true.
No, I don't even think I actually talked back to them. I just, like, listened to them and, but.
No, but then you probably made a facial expression that made them be like, oh, I won.
Probably. But yeah, I mean, I don't know. I just, nowadays, like, bullying is, like, a talking point, and they have, like, you know, not rehearsals. What's it called? Like.
Well, do you think it has to do with people?
I don't know what
I mean,
it's
there's a bullying, but also, like, there's a point where people don't fight back anymore either. Because really, with
the
internet,
they do now.
With the internet, there's so much hiding. You
maybe
know,
okay,
so
I'm
much
talking
hiding.
About real life bullying though. Like, they have, like, school seminars about bullying now. They never really talked about it when we were younger. Like,
because people were back then, you had to become a real human being and a man back then. Somewhere down the line.
But now I think kids stand up for other kids. Like, if they're like, oh, I don't like you, blah blah blah, and then, like, you know, being all negative about this one girl, and then it's like some other kid might act because they have all these bullying lessons, so it's probably some other kid hopefully will be like, hey, Jenny's cool, lay off her, you know, whatever. And then, like,
there's, like, now
know,
we're
they're
now
like
they
a
live
hero
in,
kid
now they live in, like, the afternoon special world.
Yeah. And then, like, you know, I feel like that might happen. Of course it doesn't happen in every instance, but I feel like there's possibility of that happening more. But, you know, I don't know, most of the stuff that I was teased about was, like, stupid stuff, so it's like, there must be something wrong with the person that was actually saying that. You know, I know in a couple instances, like, that same person also teased some of my friends. So
I also,
like,
feel like
it was more of, like, they were just going after all of us.
But to me, I'm not going to lie, but you sort of need all those. You need someone to bully. You need someone to stand. You need all these characters to get a well-rounded person.
Yeah.
You can't just be like, I was never bullied. So if you never experienced that life of doing that, then how are you supposed to, when that one time it does happen, how are you supposed to react?
Yeah.
And how are you also, supposed to, you're supposed to experience
age,
this?
At that age, you're not, like, fully developed enough to, like, really deal with it. Really, to, like, come back immediately.
Yeah,
you know?
But that's,
like,
what I'm saying. That's how you. That's how fighters get better, is because they have more fights. You spar. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's, like, you can't just be like, oh, I'm going to be quick-witted, because probably people who are already quick-witted beforehand probably comes to their family. mm-hmm. you know? So it's like you have to sort of learn, you have to learn to stand up for yourself.
And I feel like I was a easier target. Like I wasn't like, oh, there's like, you know, when you see certain kids, you're like, oh man, that kid probably gets it real bad at school. I wasn't like a straight up nerd geek kid. That's like,
well, since I was the opposite, like, oh. I was the opposite. I was probably more of a bully when I'm growing up. Then it was like then you had to sort of, I had to learn from my ways the other way.
Yeah. But now you're a nice guy, right?
No. Look at all the people that hate me.
But aren't you trying to be a nice person?
Look at all the people that don't talk to me, being they hate me. That's usually what it comes down to.
But usually they think you're so busy that they can't
talk
to you.
I doubt that.
They're like, man, you're so busy. I can't even talk to you.
I highly doubt that.
Is that an excuse?
They're probably just being like, oh, I hate him now. He never talked to me back.
Well,
whatever.
That's a whole nother segment.
Yep. It's my life.
I just think it's so
I gotta be the person that's always proactive, and when I stop being proactive, then people think I hate them or they hate me because I'm not the one controlling the scenario anymore.
Well, I do think it is good that I went through that couple years of trying to fit in, even though it sounds really silly. And I don't necessarily admire that I did that, but I'm glad I did because now I know who I am. I know what works for me. And I know that I don't have to fit in to feel accepted or happy about myself. So I'm really actually glad that I tried, like, you know, to wear clothes that were cool or something. And then, really, like, it was so stupid because they don't even look that great. So
what's amazing is, like, you know, you're talking about how to make money or how to get well known. It's like, if you were to just blend in with the trends of the comics or anything you're making, then you just blend in, mm-hmm. and then you won't get noticed. But if you do become, you find your own identity, your own voice, then that's when you get above, and that's when you become more confident, and that's when you find your, you know, then you find out what really works, and that's when you find out the meaning that you want to do, because this is your meaning, this is your purpose. You know, and then you'll be, I feel like you'll be a success. Whether you have lots of money or not, you'll have something that you can own.
It's all
that
yours.
That means to something to you, and that's not followed by a trend, because when it follows by a trend, then it sort of feels a little shallow. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I know the design industry is full of trends, and a lot of times clients want something that they've already seen before.
That's a whole different conversation.
I know it is,
what clients want, and then what you want to, and what new ideas you want to push.
But what I
we don't have enough time for that.
What I mentioned for that is that every time I'm doing a trendy thing that's not really from me, I never feel like I'm actually creating anything. So that's why with the comics, when you're doing your own thing, it's totally your own thing. And if you're just ripping off somebody a year or two later, you're going to realize that you don't actually have anything for yourself.
Exactly, yeah.
But so that's how I feel about that.
So end the story, always do something
original.
In your voice. You know what I mean? Do something that's in your voice at that moment. Original, I don't know what that's going to be, because everything's going to find inspiration from something.
Mm-hmm.
But your recipe that comes from your voice, from your experiences, is what's the most important. And whether that's going to make a lot of money or not, it's actually not up to you sometimes.
Yeah. You just got to release it to the universe and see what happens. But be smart about it.
Let it fly. Right. Yeah. And see what happens. And there you go, ladies and gentlemen. That is the Carolyn and Joe Show. The show is brought to you by Astray Productions. Check them out at astrayproductions.com. Check out my band, Monday Mistress, and mondaymistress.com. Check out my work, Joe Carabeo, joecarabeo.com. Also, news, Astray News at goastray.tumblr.com. Hey, my films are still up there, but I'm going to be making more, one-shots.com. Don't forget to check out Carolyn's work, curls-studio.com. Want to check out her comic book? It comes out every single day. Every single day, curls-studio.com/curls. I am Astray J on Instagram. She is Karen Bolevsky on Instagram. Check us, The Carolyn Joe Show, out. iTunes, Stitcher Radio, CarolynJoeShow.com, also on WordPress. Follow us on every single thing. Every single thing you guys have ever heard of in your whole entire world. And yes, my name is Joe.
And I'm Carolyn.
Go out there and be something meaningful to you and someone else out there. But do something. Do something for you and everyone. Right? Let them know, Carolyn.
You're bona fide.
That's right!